Okay, hello. This is the Edible Valley podcast. I'm kind of bursting into energy there. We weren't really talking, saying anything, and it was silence, and I was like, hello. Anyway, this is the Edible Valley podcast. My name is William Stringer.
I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser, and you ready, Will? We're going to be talking about knives in the kitchen today.
Knives in the kitchen!
Do you ever wonder where your food comes from?
That's what got us started on this adventure.
In each episode, we ask experts to weigh in on the food topics that matter to you, from growers to producers to chefs.
And I challenge John, Darren, and you to learn more about your food and the stories behind it. From our hub on Vancouver Island in the beautiful Comox Valley, join us as we explore our edible valley.
So this is one of those ones where I just do terribly in. I mean, all of our knives are absolutely and completely blunt, unbranded, cheap. I mean, the worst knives. If you saw them, it was a horror show.
Oh, yeah. You met my wife when I moved into her house.
So I'm really looking forward to hearing a little bit about knives today. I mean,
and
this is going to be fascinating.
That's what I mean. This is every chef's arsenal. This is what the essential tool of every chef in a kitchen is, the knife, right?
So I know that when in kitchens, in restaurants that I've worked in, when there's a new chef, he'll bring in his own packet of knives, and it's this intensely kind of personal thing. It's quite rare that I, from my perspective, to see them go to the common pot of knives. They have their own knives. They talk about who's got the best knives, what brand it is. You know, oh, I went to the knife factory in Tokyo and all that kind of thing. So, I mean, this is a thing.
It's a thing. And you know what? If you're a cook or a real chef, you have your own knives. It's just common. It's just part of the business, right?
Yeah.
It's your own tools. You get accustomed to them. And so I just thought today would be an excellent opportunity for us to go over some of those things and just sort of talk about them and sort of see the things that make it important for having your knives. And when picking out knives, to pick the perfect knives for you. Because everyone has a little bit of a different feel, different brand. But, you know, let's just go over some of the basics and then we can just sort of build your knife.
And now, do you want to talk about Erin, your wife's favorite brand of knives? Should we start with that? Because she's just left.
She just left and
seemed very enthusiastic.
Well, we got her going at the chef convention in Niagara Falls. Part of the Chefs Association is the brand that sponsors us and supports us.
And the brand
is Frederick Dick knife.
This is a man, 2 years.
So I bought my knife, my wife, a beautiful, beautiful pink paring knife so that she would have a real knife in the kitchen here. So
and she absolutely loves it.
She absolutely loves it.
So yeah, we're going to talk about some brands. It is obviously incredibly important. Now we've decided to break this up into two episodes. So we're not going to be talking about knives for 30 minutes. We're going to do about, well, we're just going to introduce you to a few things. We're going to talk about the uses of knives. And we're also going to dip into the safety around knives is an obvious one. And then I think, will you do a bit about the different brands on the next one?
I think we're going to have to, I think we have enough information here that we're going to have to dive into a couple episodes.
Yeah, so that would be really good.
Let's start off with here, like we're looking at what are the importance of having good cooking knives in your kitchen, right? And first of all, for a chef, it's precision cutting, right? You know, the knife allows you to do the culinary cuts, keeping the shape and the size just perfect, right? Like that's what you're going for. And having a good quality knife that's designed for what it's supposed to be doing to be allow you to do those cuts so that you can look very professional and hit all those cooking techniques.
So are you talking about the way that the food looks, like the precision or?
Exactly.
Yeah. So that's important. So that is it just for that higher level, that appearance? Or is it to get things done easier?
It's a bit of both, right?
Right.
Like, so you want versatility, right? So different knives have different uses. When we're doing chopping, we're doing slicing, dicing, mincing, all of these knives are designed with a different characteristics to help your performance in doing those things.
Nice.
Another thing you're looking from knife is just to have that uniformity, right? Like having that very, keeping your sizes all within this thing, ensuring that you can have the flavors and aromas released from the food when you cut it properly. Like so, there is something about that.
Yeah. So it's that whole experience kind of thing, not just...
Yeah, it lets you get to, when you're cutting dishes, you can release the flavors in different ways, you know?
Wow.
Creativity, right? Like just to be able to have your knife to be able to make like a beautiful little sculpture. You know, we've all seen like carved fruit and stuff like that is a great thing for a knife.
Yeah, you can't do that with a blunt knife.
And then having the right knife is being for safety. Like that's a key to it, right? Nothing worse than using the wrong tool.
Can you expand on that? So say I'm just using a bog standard knife that I've just found. To cut, I don't know, an onion. How could that be dangerous?
Well, it could be dangerous because it could slip. Like if you're you're not, like when you're cutting things, you want to be able to, like you can have the guide between your hand. You can space things out. You know, a big one is like a boning knife. Using a boning knife for cutting up a chicken or something like that. If you're using a flexible knife, like a flag knife, it could slip and the knife could bend and then swing back and you don't know how that's going to react. So it's picking the right knife for the right tool that you're doing.
Well, it kind of links nicely into the types of knife that there are that exist.
Well, let's go through some just standard knives.
Okay.
I'll go through some of the knives that I keep in my kit.
We'll stop on there.
You know, like
there
that's
are just, so many. Okay.
Just, I mean, I have a lot of knives and I've gone through a lot of knives in my life. But a great one, traditional French cooking is your chef's knife.
Okay.
Which is a versatile all-purpose knife. It's broad with a tapered blade that sort of goes down to a point. It's usually around 8 to 10 inches in length, and it's ideal for chopping, slicing, dicing, mincing, right?
Okay.
And that's the one you see. The chef's knife is that traditional 8 to 10 inch blade. It's great for chopping.
Yeah.
You can line things up. It's very, very nice for doing things like that. Another one, number two in my kit always, is my paring knife. That's that little knife that you can use for doing all your delicate work. You know, a very sharp blade with a nice point on it, usually around 3 to 4 inches long. It's perfect for like peeling or trimming or coring out something. It just gives you that flexibility to work with it.
Wow. Okay. Carry on.
I'm going to go on to a serrated knife. Which is everyone's bread knife, because there's going to be a time that you've got to cut bread. So a serrated knife is just nice because it's got the little jagged edges on it so it can cut nicely through the bread.
That's a bread knife.
Yes.
Okay.
So your serrated is a bread knife.
Yeah.
It's great for cutting through things like that. I also find sometimes for like doing tomatoes or whatever, it's nice.
Can I ask, steak knife, serrated knife, different sizes, but are they the same otherwise?
Well, I mean, a serrated knife, I would use something a little bit longer for doing bread or something like that, right? Because a loaf of bread.
Yeah.
But basically, you're using the same technique.
Yeah.
Also, sometimes the serrate is more aggressive and less aggressive. Okay. So if you're using for like a steak knife at a restaurant, it usually has a little bit of serrate on it because it's usually not the sharpest knife. Like, it wouldn't be as sharp as a chef's knife.
Yeah, okay.
You know, just from how it's handled
and along those
lines. Another great knife is a utility knife, which I use a lot in my profession. I love, it's a bit of a shorter knife, around 4 to 6 inches in length. And it's just multitasking. So it's great for, you know, slicing sandwiches, cutting up fruit, cutting vegetables. I used to use a utility knife when I was at Atlas quite a bit because it was perfect for, I had very small area to work in, so to have 16 different knives for cutting quesadillas and those things, it was the perfect knife.
Would you say that's one of the ones that's like a go-to? So if someone's saying, well, I just want one knife, what's the one that does the most?
Well, I would always, the first knife in your kit would be your chef's knife, right?
Okay.
That's you're going to be, because it's going to be the one that can do all the jobs that you need for it.
Okay.
Utility knife would be, if I'm doing a lot of chopping, I would switch to my chef knife. But if I'm going from job to job to job, a utilities knife, because you don't always have to change up. But like if I'm doing dicing or julienne or brumoise of vegetables, I would be hitting my chef knife just because it's a cleaner cut. It's a nicer knife to work with on something like
that. But those are the two, utility and chef. If someone can have two... Utility and chef.
Exactly.
Nice. Okay.
Another great one is for a boning knife, which I was talking about, this knife. It's a I don't like a flexible boning knife. Has a smaller blade, so you can churn it and, okay, and roll around bones and be able to follow.
Oh yeah,
follow the grain of the meat a little bit easier. And that's the one, because you're going to be using it to remove bones from meat, so you can
from a chicken,
okay, right? When you're doing a whole chicken, and you're doing, so you can slice through the flesh, turn it over, cut through, cut around the bone. It's stable. It's not going to flex as much.
Okay, it doesn't flex. So like a filleting knife, like for a fish, that's much more flexible.
Exactly. And that was what I was going to get into next. So with a filleting knife, it's a long blade, thin. So it's a bit flexible. So it will flex with the fish. So you can put it against the table for taking, like doing the skin off or cutting the fillet. Or if you're carving around like some of the bones and stuff like there, because the bones are a lot more delicate. So they're not, they're going to flex a bit.
Can you help me with that, by the way? I'm going to buy a whole fish and fillet it, which I've done many times before.
Yes.
Are you good at that?
I've done it a few times.
It's a heck of a lot cheaper if you just buy a whole fish.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay.
And it's almost a nicer product in some ways, because the fish is protected, or the meat is protected.
That's true. So it's fresher.
Yeah.
Wow. I think John's going to help with my fish.
Yeah. Another one is a cleaver.
Oh, what is that?
And that's for chopping through bones and getting through heavy.
Things. Right. That's to get through heavy stuff. Okay.
Chopping through meats. I also really like using a chopping cleaver, which is a thinner cleaver that you can chop up all your vegetables.
Nice.
And then it's easy to pick up because you have a broad blade to work on it.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with those blades for now. Okay. Just so that you know, there are tons of other different blades out there. There's a lots of Asian blades that are very useful. And great to look at, but I'm just going to stick with our sort of core French ones to start here, I think.
Now, have you got any tips on choosing the right knife for different tasks, like specifically? I know that you did go a little bit into that, but are there any types of...
like some extra little... Yeah. When I'm taking a blade or looking at a knife, what I'm sort of looking into? It's considering about the tasks that you're going to be performing with. Before, like if you're going to be chopping lots of vegetables, if you're going to be filleting a fish, if you're going to be doing like some delicate kind of work, like you want to pick a blade that's going to be easiest for that. Another thing when you're picking out a blade is to pay attention to the handle of the knife.
Okay.
Just to get the good feel.
Okay.
And feel the balance of the knife. Usually with a knife, especially if you're becoming a chef or you're training to be, you're going to be doing a lot of chopping, right?
Right. Like, okay. Yeah.
That's the best way to learn how to use a knife, is just keep doing it, doing it, and doing it, and doing it, right?
I guess it's sort of just an extension of you in a way.
It is actually. It's just an extra part of my arm, right?
Yeah.
Like, so getting a handle that's comfortable, and everyone has a little bit of a different feel, and it's depending on how you like to hold your knife. There's a couple brands out there that the blade's a little bit thicker in the back end than other blades, so then you're going to develop more of a callus on your finger. So some people like it thicker, thinner, which is kind of moving into one of the other things I'm thinking of. Another thing to look at when choosing a knife is looking at the blade length. You don't have to have a 30-foot long blade, right? Like, think about what you're going to be doing, where you're going to be working.
Yeah.
You know.
Do you lose a bit of control the longer the blade is, effectively?
I find I get much cleaner the longer the blade is, right? Like
cleaner?
I can do a longer cut.
You're not having to hack back and
forth. Yeah, you have as much flexibility in it. So I find sometimes a longer blade is easier to work with.
So like a boning knife, if you need control, is a boning knife a bit shorter?
Yeah, it would be would probably be a little bit shorter than, say, your...
Interesting, okay.
But a little bit longer than your paring knife, right?
Yes. Perfect, okay.
And a longer blade is easier for bigger product, right? So if you're slicing meats or slicing breads, the longer the blade is, the more control.
Yeah, I mean, I regularly try and cut bread with a steak knife. I mean, it looks
yeah, awful. And that's why you get this jagged, all beat up thing. Next thing is thinking about the material. Consider what the blade is made out of. So you have like stainless steel, high carbon steel. I have a bunch of knives that are just like steel. There's no stainless steel in them at all, which is, they are beautiful knives, for really quick and easy to sharpen. I really like them. But if you're cutting vegetables or lettuce or something like that, they instantly start, your lettuce will start to rust because it leaves some of the trace of the blade behind.
The lettuce will start to rust.
Yes. It'll start turning brown because of the blade.
Wow. Okay. No, I couldn't quite believe that. Okay. Wow.
So a lot of times you'll see a lot of places are using more of a stainless steel blade so that they're cleaner.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Nice. So that's something to consider when looking at a blade. What else? The thing, sharpness, you know, maintaining your sharpness on your blade.
Yeah. I think we need to add sharpening onto the, because I mean, that's one of those things. I think we need to do that in the next episode, because sharpening, everyone's got the knives at home.
Yes.
This is something I think that we need to know a little bit more about. I basically just copy Gordon Ramsay with that rod thing and just go ch-ch-ch-ch for two seconds.
Which is actually honing your knife, not sharpening.
You see, there we go. Next episode.
Well, before I'm jumping, I'm actually going to go into that. But before I do that, let's just talk about budgeting.
Okay.
So you can take budget for your knives. You know, we don't have unlimited resources. You can spend an outrageous amount. I've spent, you know, $500 or $600 on a single knife.
Wow.
Before, just because I've picked it up and I've loved it, and you know, that's how it's going. But you don't have to spend that much money, and you can build your kit as you go. So yeah, you can just start with one knife and build to the next knife. My first chef knife was a $50 a Schmidtco, I believe it was, which I've never seen anywhere before, but it was a great knife, and I learned a lot from it.
But would you say, generally speaking, to build up slowly? So build up slowly with good quality.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, perfect. All right then.
So yeah, let's talk a little bit about sharpening knife, because you're kind of keen about that, right?
All right, it's far away.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Right. So why do we keep our knife sharp? Is the first thing is efficiency. A sharp knife is less effort. You can do a lot more production. Safety,
yeah,
right? Like,
yeah. So if it's totally blunt, you're putting more effort in and more pressure, and then the pressure could hurt you.
Exactly.
Okay. Nice.
I also always tell them, if you do slip with a sharp knife, it's going to be a clean cut.
Right. Yeah.
And it'd be a lot easier to put back on than if.
Yeah.
That's not what anyone wanted to hear.
No.
Another thing is to do precision, right? Like, this allows you to control your cuts. So, and that will lead to safety, right? So you can keep your cuts. And then the versatility, just having a sharp knife just allows you to do more tasks in the kitchen.
Yeah. Nice. Can we a little bit? So everyone in their kitchen's got that thing where you sharpen it with that long thing.
The steel.
Yeah. What's the best way of actually using that steel?
What's that?
It's
all about the angle. So having a nice 45-degree angle, or the angle that your knife's sharpened at.
45 degrees. Yeah.
And then it's sort of like coming down and then going back up.
So you
going
do it
down
both
one
ways.
Side. Yeah. And so what that does is actually roughs up the knife. Like, a lot of people think it's smoothing it out, but it's actually breaking up the blade a bit, so that, because your knife cuts because of little gouges in it, right?
Wow,
so it's almost like a little serrade under a micro.
Yeah.
If you were to look at it that way.
It's like a steak knife.
Exactly.
From very close up.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing, is you're kind of roughing that up. So there's lots of tools that you can use for sharpening your knife. Definitely, like, there's a sharpening stone, which is a whetstone,
or
is a great way of getting down, and like a little bit of water on there and working your knife on that right angle for it.
Yep.
There's a lot of electric sharpeners. I've done that before on a couple knives. I find it eats your knife away quite a bit.
How do they work?
But basically, it's got two round stones in there that are spinning, and you just pull your knife through.
Oh, yeah.
And
it
trims on the angle. So it's a very quick, easy way to do your knife. There's also, I was looking at a roller system the other day where you actually put your knife on a degree angle, and then you have a roller ball that rolls against the blade at that angle, which sharpens it up, which are all great different ways. There's a lot of little rigs that you can buy out there to keep your knife at the right angle. But a lot of chefs are, once you get your angle and you learn it and you know how to use your stone, you're going to work it on your stone there, sharpen the blade, get it nice and sharp, and that's going to basically build that angle. And then your honing is just to just like get it really beautifully for cutting, right?
So if you've got cheap knives, is there any point in sharpening them?
Well, that's what you'll find with the more expensive knives, the cheaper knives, is the hardness of the steel.
Oh,
and usually, so a harder steel, will hold an edge a lot longer, right?
Like, right. So
that's why you're buying a more expensive knife.
So if you get cheap knives, then a way of negating that is to sharpen them more regularly.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's the trade-off you make.
Yeah.
So a really good, expensive, hard knife is going to be a lot of work to maintain it. So you've got to take it to the stone every little bit just to keep that, but it will hold that edge for a lot longer.
Wow.
Whereas your lighter steel will sharpen very quickly.
Can we talk about knife safety a little bit?
Yeah. Let's get into a little bit of safety. I mean, there's lots of things to do with safety. I mean, we always have to remember about how to use our knife properly. You know, just making sure that you're on a safe area to work with. So like a stable cutting board, area to work with. Other thing is, keeping our knife stay sharp with this, what we've just been talking about. Having the proper grip on your knife, I believe in, you want to always be holding the blade, not just the handle.
So you hold the blade as well?
Yeah. So I like to rest my hand with my finger between my thumb and my forefinger on the blade.
Okay.
And the reason for that is if you ever take a blade in your hand and then just hold on to the handle and grab the blade and try and twist it, it'll twist, right?
Yeah.
Whereas if you've got your finger and forethumb on that blade, it can't twist. So you've got that blade held into position.
So that's about control.
Yes. And that's how you're gripping the knife. And you want to have it nice and delicate in your hand so you can move around with it, and then work on your cutting technique, right? Like use your other hand as a guide for your knife. So keep your fingertips in and just use the edge of your hand as a guide to go back.
So it's difficult for a podcast, but you're basically holding it so your fingers aren't out flat on anything where you could just chop them off.
Exactly.
So it's almost like they're forming a little wall from right up to your knuckles.
Exactly.
Yeah, ish, if that makes sense. Yeah.
And so you're just having that nice little area.
Yeah.
You got your fingers curled in. It's just nice, and you're just slowly working your way back against your hand.
Yeah, your fingers are vertical, so they're the same. They're at the same angle as the knife, so then you're not going to cut your fingers off.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
And,
okay.
And I've found I don't even need to, if my hand has my blade resting against it, I don't even need to look at my fingers.
I was just about to say, always make sure you're looking. But no, I mean, it's such a good safety thing.
I'm going to say I've been doing this for 30 years, so it just comes naturally to me. But I'm saying, like, when you're starting out and you're doing this, I would not take your eye off it for sure. You're totally right on that. But I'm saying you will learn to feel your hand, will feel that blade, and it is a very safe and secure position to have it. Another thing with a knife is always cut away from yourself.
Oh, okay.
I have this beautiful poem that I've always said, I heard years ago. Always cut towards a chum. Never cut towards your thumb.
Oh.
You can always get another chum. You can't get another thumb.
Wow. So what's a chum?
You know, your buddy.
As in a buddy. Okay, I'm just checking. Chums. Okay, I haven't heard the word chum in ages.
I know. Okay. Anyways, but I've always thought, you always think about that. So like when you got your paring knife and you're cutting some butcher's twine, it's cut away from you. You know, you don't cut towards yourself because that's where you're going to run into.
That's okay. That's a great little tip. I love it.
We're talking about safety still. Make sure you store your knives in a safe place, right?
Not on the very edge of the counter.
Put them in the sink. Put them in. Yeah. Like that's why we've got things like knife blocks. You know, which is an excellent place to store your knife. Another great one is a magnetic strip. I've got one here in the house and I love it. You just put your knife up along there. It's nice and air dry.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. Or if you're traveling, a knife roll.
Yes.
Which is basically just a little pouch with a couple places for your knife to slide in with a cover that rolls and you roll that up, tie it up, and then your knives are all secure in there.
And this is what chefs do.
That's what we do.
Up with that. Do you reckon it's sanitary to put the knife into the wooden blocks?
Well, that is the key, is that you want to make sure that you have a clean knife.
Yeah, because you put it in there, it could get rank.
Exactly. Yeah. So I always say you should never actually run your knives through the dishwasher.
Okay. That's exactly what I do. Why not?
There is a thing that if you have a plastic handle or even a wood handle, it'll start eating away that handle. You'll notice over time is that the hot water from the dishwasher expands and decreases the metal and the handle at a different rate, and it will get loose. So doing it in the sink with some nice soap and water and then spraying with a bleach or a sanitizer of some sort at the end is a great way. And then definitely completely drying it before putting it away. That'll save you from rusting.
Everything.
It just keeps the knife that much better.
Yeah. Okay. I wish I could, usually with our topics, I can add something.
Right.
But I'm here to learn on this one. I've made pretty much every mistake in the book on this one.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you probably just saved my fingers.
And it's that's what it's all about. So, you know what? I think we've come to a great spot to break. And I think we can have another episode where we can talk to people a little bit about some different types of knives, maybe go into a little bit more depth about the knives.
Let's go into brands as well. That would be really good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that would be a lot of fun. So.
Fantastic. All right. Well, this is kind of a mini episode of the Edible Valley podcast.
Oh, it's come out to be a full episode.
Any comments, as always, we'd love them. We are on Facebook, the Edible Valley podcast on there. Also, ediblevalley.com.
You got it.
Love it. Thank you very much for joining us as we explore Edible Valley with knives. As always, I'm William Stringer.
And I'm Chef Jonathan Fraser. Well, thank you for enjoying our Edible Valley with us. Now we challenge you to go explore your Edible Valley.
That wraps up another episode of the Edible Valley podcast. Thanks for tuning in. And a special thanks goes to the local businesses that help support our podcast. They make it possible for us to showcase your local food community. We'd love you to follow us on your preferred social media at Edible Valley, where you can check out our blog, find recipes and tips, behind the scenes, and of course keep a lookout for where we are going to turn up next in your Edible Valley.
This has been an Edible Valley production.
Yeah, beep, 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 beep.
Okay, ready again?